I told Alan, I said, my knees are feeling pretty good today. I may preach from the podium up there. Well, I did chicken out on that one. Oh. Well, thank you for coming today. First off, I've got a question. You know I like to do that. I like to ask you a question sometimes. And I don't want you to raise your hands or anything. But how many of you have done great things for God? I didn't even see anybody attempt to raise their hand. I saw Teresa kept Richard from raising his. Most of you didn't raise your internal hand, did you? Most of us can only recount small things that we've done for God. I'm sure it's probably that way with you as it is with me. Small things like church attendance. Most of us try to be here every time the church doors are open, you know. It makes us feel funny when we have to miss for one reason or another. But that's a relatively small thing, isn't it? What about visiting the sick? Some of you have a real talent for visiting the sick. But that's kind of a small thing in the grand scheme of things. We just had our offering a while ago, and many of you are faithful givers. And that's another small thing in our Christian life, but it's something, isn't it? Some of you, another thing that I wrote down here was maybe doing hair at the nursing home. That's not a huge thing, but it's a good thing, isn't it? Or working in the prison ministry. Another one of those things. Or maybe it's just changing light bulbs here on the campus. You know, that's doing something for the Lord, isn't it? Still not a big thing. Maybe sending cards to people. Or working in the Backpack Buddies program. All of these things are pretty small by themselves, aren't they? But a lot of you, most of you, are involved in at least some of these. Did you see, as we went through those things, did you see a pattern evolving there? What I saw was a bunch of small things done consistently. Small things done consistently, not sporadically. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to be looking at a couple of verses out of chapter 7. Can y'all hear me okay? Let's look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Christ says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. I'll tell you one thing. I have never performed a miracle. I've never prophesied. But Jesus, I would consider those big things, wouldn't you? If I could stand up here on Sunday morning and do a miracle, wouldn't you think, wow, that's a big thing? Well, number one, I think it is a big thing, or it would be a big thing, except these people were doing him, why? I think they wanted notoriety, didn't they? You think any of these people that told Christ, well, look, we cast out demons and did miracles and prophesied in your name. Do you think any of these people ever did somebody's hair at the nursing home? They wanted Christ to notice them because of the big, grand things they had done. You know, Charlie has been teaching a class on Sunday morning about people who didn't seem like much, but God really used them to do some great things. He talked about David. David was a shepherd boy. His brothers didn't like him. And yet, he became the king. God made him a king to rule Israel. What about Moses? I think Charlie used Moses too. Moses was a stuttering murderer. Yet God used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He really didn't want to do it. But those were a couple of really great things. What about the kid that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? You think he went to that gathering to listen to Jesus thinking, boy, I am doing something awesome because I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes in my lunch pail? No, it was a small thing. But God turned it into something big, didn't he? You know, I'm still remembering Charlie Kirk. Charlie never graduated college. But how many thousands of young people did he affect in his lifetime? He was only 31. Thousands. He changed a lot of people's lives. That's a great thing. But he didn't consider himself to be a great person. I want to go back to Matthew 7 now. I want to go back to Matthew 7 and read the verse before what we just read. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We don't have to do great things to get to heaven, do we? What we need to do is just to do God's will. That's all we have to do. And you don't have, once again, you don't have to raise your hands at this. But sometimes I think we may view the things that we do for God as mundane or maybe even monotonous. We wake up every morning and do the same old things for God that we've always done. Do we look at them as being non-important sometimes? And then we think, well, this is all I can do. We may not be giving ourselves the credit we deserve, or we may be belittling ourselves for no reason. And this is all going to come together in a little bit. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why are we here in the first place? We're here to do good works, aren't we? Not that we can earn our way to heaven, or not that we have to do something great to get into heaven, but this passage to me says, when it says, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them, I think, I may be wrong, but I think God prepares works individually for each one of us. I can't do some of the things you do. And you can't do some of the things I do. Okay? We're different. And I think God has prepared these works for us individually. So what is it that, what do we need to do? We need to discover what God's will is for us individually, don't we? I told a couple of you, I have to confess, the title to the lesson is misleading in your bulletin. Did it for a reason. Told a couple of you that I was going to be preaching on something today that you have never heard from the pulpit before. And we're fixing to get to that part right now. And I can almost guarantee you, you've never heard this from the pulpit. Charlie, put that picture up, would you? I couldn't do this in San Antonio or Houston, okay? But in Bertram, Texas, I can do this. I chose this for a reason. I don't know what you call this. It's called a dung beetle. It's a member of the scarab family, but in Burnett County, we call these tumble bugs. A tumble bug spends his life cutting out and shaping manure into a ball. And he digs a tunnel, then he rolls that ball into the tunnel. And then he lays an egg, or he or she lays, they lay an egg in this ball of manure. And when that egg hatches, the hatchling starts eating his way out of this ball of manure. And thus the tumblebug procreates, okay? New generation of tumble bugs. But the new little tumble bugs don't eat the whole ball of manure. So what happens to it? It fertilizes the ground, people. It fertilizes the ground. One of the things that I read when I was researching this, one of the things I read was that the tumble bug, you can turn a couple of lights on, I'm going blind up here. One of the things I read when looking at this is that the tumble bug, or tumble bugs, roll up and plant up to 28% of the manure that falls on the ground. Think about that. These little dudes, and then I didn't see them much for years, but now I'm starting to see a lot of them right now. But I'm telling you, if it weren't for these tumble bugs, we would be knee deep in manure. And there would be flies, horrible flies, and stink. I'm telling you, these are some of God's great creations. And here's the deal. I don't know how bugs think, okay? I doubt if this bug woke up one morning and goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find me a nice fresh manure pile, and I'm going to make a ball out of it, and I'm going to lay an egg in it. You know, that bug right there, he didn't think that. He just did what was instinctive to him. God put that in that bug to do that. So every day that bug works and works and works. I want to know how he knows which way he's going, because he's pushing backwards. He pushes that ball of manure backwards to his burrow and puts it in there, lays an egg in it, and then goes to get another one. I'm telling you, and I want you to please make the connection between the first part of this lesson and this part. Day after day, it's the same for the tumblebug. And day after day, it may be the same for us. But I promise you that God does great things with small things. Sometimes we pray, God, take this contribution, when we take up the contribution on the first day of the week, take this and multiply it, God. And he can do that. God can take small things. He can take someone who sends cards to people, or who mops up spilled water. He can take those little mundane things that we do every day in our life for God. He can take those and turn them into something great. Let's look in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. That just throws great things that we intend to do in the trash can, doesn't it? We need to deny ourselves and trust God to do great things with what we do. We are to deny ourselves and then take up our cross daily. We need to take our cross up daily, figure out what God's will is for us, and do it if we want to follow Christ. We have to do God's will. We have to do the things that he's prepared for you and me individually. When you wake up every morning, when you wake up every morning, thank God for the new day. And then back up to that ball and roll, baby, roll. You can cut that photo, Charlie. I know this has been kind of an odd little lesson, but the thought came to me and I had to share it with you. Don't ever be discouraged that thinking that the small things that you do don't count, because they do. If you want to do what you can do, if you want to figure out what God's will for you is, first you have to make the decision to follow Christ. Deny yourself and follow Christ. You need to repent of your past life, be baptized into Christ, and guess what he's going to do with you? He's going to make you a new person. So if you in any way this morning, maybe you need to be baptized into Christ, or maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation to help you back up to your ball every morning, please come forward while we stand and sing.